I'm broadcasting from Miami today for the Florida primary as part of our election road trip. As we reported yesterday, Donald Trump has quite a history here in Florida as a developer with both successes and failures. One that's made the headlines recently is the now defunct Trump Magazine. Here's Mitt Romney speaking earlier this month.
And whatever happened to Trump Airlines? How about Trump University? And then there's Trump Magazine and Trump Vodka and Trump Steaks and Trump Mortgage. A business genius he is not.
Well, Jerry Powers was the publisher of the magazine back in 2007 when it launched. We met up on a bench outside Trump Towers in Sunny Isles, Florida, which has Trump's name on it, even though he doesn't own it.
When Mitt Romney and others have said that Trump Magazine was a failure, I mean, I took it personally. They were making stuff up because it was successful, and anybody who really cared, I'd show them financial statements. And I think success is more money going in the owner's pockets than going out, and like that's pretty simple. And I don't know about some of the other things he did, but I know this was profitable. So yeah, I think a lot of stuff he says is actually true.
Powers has known Donald Trump for 24 years. I asked him how they first met.
I came down from New York in 1992 to publish a magazine called Ocean Drive Magazine, and about 3 months later, I was at a restaurant opening in Miami Beach, South Beach, and he came in and just walked up to me and started talking to me. He was with his bodyguard, who I think is still with him, and we sat down and we talked. He just picked me.
What'd you talk about?
We talked about Miami and South Beach, and he was talking about his interest in doing some development here. And very soon thereafter, he started talking to me about this property in Palm Beach called Mar-a-Lago that I think he was about to buy.
And after that, you stayed in touch?
Yeah. When we started doing it, I started a magazine in Palm Beach. And then he called me and said that this could have been sometime within the first year we met. And he called me and said he had taken over this property called Mar-a-Lago and wanted to know if I wanted to do some parties there. So I said, yeah, we did a lot of events. So, and it was a great venue. And I think sometime in 94, he was having a problem with the city of Palm Beach or maybe with the FAA. And he wanted the planes not to fly over the club. So the city of Palm Beach or the FAA said no. They thought it was ridiculous. So he asked me to start bringing models and people from South Beach to Mar-a-Lago for parties. And he paid for the buses and he paid for limos and he paid for all this. And, you know, one of the first event we did, we brought like 1,000 people there. And Mar-a-Lago is not in a neighborhood that's conducive to parties. So I didn't know it at the time because here was a guy who was giving us this great mansion to throw parties. That was good promotion for my magazine. No cost to us. He catered. He big swimming pool, big everything. And so we kept doing events there at least every 2 or 3 weeks. Parking became a nightmare. People were driving up themselves. And the people in the neighborhood who were going out like certain nights couldn't even get back to their houses because it was just bumper-to-bumper traffic when we did our events. Later, I found out, once he got permission from the government or whatever regulating agency to stop flying the planes, at that point, he stopped being so generous about doing the parties because he was using us to help him convince the whoever was in charge of permitting or regulating the skies that the planes shouldn't fly over there. So it was a genuinely clever move on his part, but it helped me too.
But why did he think that by you bringing models and having big parties there that would stop the planes from flying over?
Because at the time when it happened, I didn't know. I thought he was just a nice guy who wanted to have pretty people around his new South Florida summer home. When he finally lost all of his appeals to have the airplane stop flying over his property, which I think was a pretty big deal, that like he went to the city and said, look, I'll stop the parties, among other things, if you guys get me the permits to move, to have the planes not fly over. So he used our events, and I might be minimizing it. We literally had thousands of people coming there. And in that neighborhood, having 100 people there was, like, really nasty. So this is big mansions right on the ocean where people are, you know, move there for nothing more than privacy. So that's why.
Okay, so that was in the mid-90s.
Yeah.
What was the next moment that you had an interaction with Trump?
We stayed friends. A lot of weekends when I was coming up to, when I was in New York, he would call me up and say, hey, you're going back down, I'll fly you down. And a couple times he actually took the plane right into Miami for me, but most of the time he took the plane to Palm Beach and then I'd get somebody to pick me up, my wife or whatever. So I flew with him a lot, we were friends, but not until early 07 did we start doing business together.
Because you were the person behind Trump Magazine.
I was the second person behind Trump Magazine. The first person was somebody who I think got in a lot of trouble and didn't even deliver the magazine at the end of the day. I didn't really know what happened, but I know one thing, that when he called me and asked us to do it, for us it had to make money. And at the time we were doing an in-room magazine for Steve Wynn in Vegas and in Macau. And we were doing Sheldon Adelson's in-room magazine for The Venetian and Macau. So when, you know, he found out that, he said, why don't you take it over from this guy who's not doing a great job? So we did.
But it stopped publishing in 2009.
Yes, by the company who I sold the magazine to.
Because it failed or why?
I don't know. After I left in late 2008, like on October, November, I stayed there for a year. And then I left. After I left, I really lost track of what happened. But I know up until I left that it made not a lot of money, but it definitely made probably, you know, I don't know, maybe $100,000 an issue, 5 issues a year, I think. And so we made $500,000 a year for almost 2 years, yeah.
So a lot of what Donald Trump has been talking about on the campaign trail is his ability to do deals. He's a great deal maker. You've done deals with him.
Yeah.
How is he as a deal maker to work with?
My secret was to not do the deal with him because he was absurd in what he wanted. He wanted me to pay him money and so on and so forth. So I would talk to, he had a lawyer, and like I worked the deal with his lawyer and just kept praying that one, because our relationship was fun, and it really was. It was just social. That like, and he put, you know, he brought free jets, this, that. And like, you know, and he was a good friend, knew a lot of people, introduced me to distribution people. He was just totally giving, came to all my parties and events. You know, he did a lot of favors for me. So I negotiated my deal with his attorneys, who were so much easier than he was.
So are you supporting him in this campaign?
If you're asking me who I'm going to vote for, I haven't decided yet.
Really? But you know him so well.
I know. We're friends. We know each other. But again, I'm normally like a guy who's a liberal, left-leaning Democrat. And here's what it is. I think he's brought a lot to the table in terms of big discussion points that would have never come up. But I have not decided whether to vote for him or not.
When you hear people say that he's a racist, what do you think about that?
Let's put it this way. I'm certain he's not a racist because I've never heard him. I don't think he sees color through his eyes. I don't, and I don't think he does. We've talked about it.
Did you ever talk to him about his stance on President Obama's birthplace?
No, not at all. I thought it was just promotion for The Apprentice.
Seems like a strange way to promote a show. But as we're talking on the bench outside Trump Towers, a growing number of concerned employees start hovering, and then one interrupts. And listen to how Jerry Powers, who has gone toe-to-toe with Donald Trump, talks the employee into letting us stay.
Hi. Do any of you live here?
No, I'm a friend of Gil Deser's, and we're just doing a little interview here. But no, we don't live here.
I'm sorry, but if you're not, any of you are not residents, I don't know what you're doing.
If you called Gil Deser, he would, and gave him my name, he would let me sit here right now.
What's your name?
Jerry Powers.
Okay.
I'm
Mr.
a friend
Powers,
of his.
You would know that Gil Deser has nothing to do with this.
I understand that, but he did.
Because he's only the developer.
I understand.
The association is the one that's responsible now for the property.
But
Gil Deser only builds the building.
I know, he built the building. So anyway, look, if you want us to leave, we'll leave.
Huh?
If you want us to leave, we'll leave.
I
published a magazine for Donald Trump.
Okay.
Called Trump Magazine.
Okay.
It used to be distributed in the hotels here.
I'm sorry, what was your name again?
Jerry Powers.
Okay.
So if you want us to leave, we can leave.
No, go ahead.
No big
continue.
Deal.
I just want to know what you were doing
because nobody
knows who you are or what was going on.
So, would you do another deal with Donald Trump?
Any day of the week, as long as I didn't have to negotiate with him. Because I'd have to count my fingers at the end of the negotiation to see if I still had 5 on each hand. And by the way, that's a compliment.
How is that a compliment?
Because I think he's incredible. And I think that, like, in terms of... I've watched him do business deals, big ones, where, for example, these buildings right here, the people who brought him in, the people who put up the money to do this, was a family called the Deeser family, Michael and Gil Deeser, and they gave him millions and millions of dollars for him to make three appearances, and that's all he had to do. And one of the appearances I was at, we did a dinner party that night for him, and he got up and looked at them and said, you know, I don't like you guys, but for a million dollars an hour, I love you guys. So he was an incredible negotiator, and I admire that in people. And he says he can do that for America, and I think he could, because we're not getting there now.
Jerry Powers, who has known Donald Trump for 24 years and used to publish Trump Magazine, speaking to us on a bench in front of Trump Towers in Sunny Isles, Florida.